soon. So what could be next for the Digital Economy Act? We'll be chatting about how we can move from siloed data, which I think is probably where we're at the moment, into a more delivering public value, including more moving more into preventative than where we're at the moment, which is probably identifying and investigating. We've already done a little bit of preventative work, but I think that's where stop the money going out before it goes out. That's where we want to be, because it's, as you all know, it's a nightmare trying to get it back after that. We will be having some audience participation. Chantelle will make sure you participate, even the ones at the back. We'll make sure you're doing that. And again, thank you for turning up at this time with croissants and stuff upstairs. Next slide, please. Digital Economy, just a little reminder and refresher on Digital Economy Act. It provides a permissive gateway for data sharing under Chapter 3 for debt and Chapter 4 for fraud. That's what it says here. Gives you the legal power to share data. It's, we like to think, quick and easy. It doesn't always turn out to be quick and easy because we've got a lot of governance to go through with the pilot bodies that we generally work with. They have to do things correctly. I shall say at this point, and I quite like the fact that we do things correctly, because at one point, my name address might be on one of these data shares, and I want to make sure that whoever's doing it looks after my name and address, national insurance number, date of birth, whatever else they've got. Next slide, please. Right, what's it being used for? 25 departments and armed bodies and 70 local authorities. I think if some of the colleagues who know us will know quite a lot of them are involved in council tax debt recovery, which is one of our big pilots. We've had 122 data sharing pilots being registered on gov.uk, with 47 are fraud related. Again, the council tax one is quite a bit because there's lots of local authorities involved in there. We have found, slightly updated figure from that, we have found £202 million in audited benefits to the end of March last year. And that's generally from a team that averaged three and a half people over the last X number of years. So we should have worked on a percentage basis, but we didn't. Never mind, I'll be in an island somewhere. Next slide. Audience participation time.
Hi, everyone. OK, so we are going to take it back old school, so I'll be asking for a show of hands here. So what prevents your organisation from data sharing? Is it a fear of breaching GDPR, legal risk? Is it a fear of the culture, we don't share? Technical barriers? Knowledge gap? And one that's not on there, you don't have any fraud. Good. Next slide, please. Oh.
Thank you. So, okay, I'll get myself up to the podium and look over it. So this, the Digital Economy Act was brought in to make data sharing more easy. I mean, to make it easier for government departments to look across and say, we need this data, how can we get this data and utilise this data? That's not always happened. I'll put that caveat out there. But what data sharing does involve is a data protection impact assessment, and I'm going to use some technical words here, so I hope some of you will understand. If not, you can come and speak to us afterwards. And a data sharing agreement. The only thing that the Digital Economy Act uses extra is a business case that we would have. Now, all these documents would need senior sign-off or data protection officer sign-off, which means that all risks would be looked at and we would look at how we can do things better. And when final sign-off is given, that's across all the stakeholders involved in the data share. And at the end, but not obviously the biggie that we have, is all data shares that are agreed under the Digital Economy Act are signed off by the Cabinet Office Minister or the relevant minister. And I say this because there are other Digital Economy Act powers apart from fraud and debt. We have public service delivery and other powers too. We have schedules that say who can and can't use the power. And we and on those schedules, we have mostly everybody. One of the big departments we don't have is the NHS, because there is a big discussion around whether we should use NHS data for fraud. And one of the reasons behind that is if someone really needs a medication or if someone needs something and they can't get it in the way they should be getting it and commit fraud, and we stop that, what would that mean for their health and, you know, what the outcome could be? So the fraud powers can be used for identifying fraud, investigating if fraud exists, the scope we have is combat fraud, which is huge. Okay, but where we'd like to be seeing ourselves in the future, and where we'd like to have discussions to happen, is how do we prevent that fraud from getting into the system to start with?
Me again, and so again, I'd ask for some participation, and again, literally just old school show of hands, please. So, the exercise is you need to verify a blue badge, and I hope everyone knows what a blue badge is. Yeah, eligibility based on disability benefits. So, what would you do? Would you A, request full benefit history? Any show of hands? B, request medical reports? C, request confirmation. Is applicant in receipt of PIP at higher rate, yes or no? Fab. There's definitely people who haven't shown any hands. Is there anything that you can, like, what would you do differently? Is there anything else that you would think to do?
Not to do, but I'll try and pull things out.
Uh-huh. Okay. The answer is? It is C. And that's based on the necessity and also the proportionality. So when sharing, you must always adhere to data minimization.
Thank you. Back to me. So we have done a lot of work in the Digital Economy Act team, and our work is public facing, so we'll have access to a register that would show here's the data shares we've carried out with, here's what they're for, here's the departments. Here's the data sets that need to be shared, loads of work. But most of our work has been aimed at more, we have a grant in place, or we have payments in place, or there's some money here. Is there fraud in the system? And we always find this fraud in the system, okay? Where we'd like to go to work towards is, can we do these checks before we pay the money out? So if there's a grant, can we check before? Can we use data from across government? Can we check before? If there is fraud. And as we work through some of our data shares, we do get the jump from we've identified there is fraud in the system. We now want to put it into business as usual, because that's another step that we take. We start piloting, and once we've piloted data shares, we would look to put them into business as usual, unless it's for something like COVID grants that no longer exist or something that is no longer in payment. What step do we take to make sure we're making that jump from, instead of finding it post-event, we are finding that we are putting prevention in place pre-event, and there's enough information there to make sure that that information that we are using to assess someone is correct. We don't always get that jump, because we don't always know when you can, for example, if you have someone on DWP benefits, Universal Credit, and they have student loans in payment, you could do a pre-check, but remember, in the life of the Universal Credit claim, they could claim the student loan at any point, so it could be any time during that too. It could be a change of circumstances rather than they've got something in payment at the beginning. And that goes for loads of things. One of the other data shares we have in place is a social care fund. So people who are claiming social care from local authorities, shockingly, you know, not all the figures are given by people who are looking after them. They have bank accounts that are hidden, or money is transferred, capital is taken out. Sometimes we can check those pre, but sometimes they may inherit something, or they may come into money for the duration of their claim. So we have some that we can put into pre, but most of them we can do both. You can be checking your systems throughout the whole process. When we're looking at policy, what does that look like? When we're about to make payments, what checks do we need? Once we're in the life of that benefit claim, or we're in the life of paying, or we're in the life of doing something, what other checks can we do to make sure that this is correct? And I suppose you can even retrospectively carry out those checks if you want to see if the claim that you paid was correct. So what we are hoping to go towards and working towards is a future firewall where people will be able to check in real time information before carrying out an action. An example of that I can give you is we are currently working with a local authority on doing checks in real time before issuing a PCN. And one of those reasons is there is a large number of cloned cars in this local authority. So even when a PCN is issued, the person at the other end is saying, it's not me. Sorry, cloned number plates, I should say. Sorry, not cloned cars. The cloned number plates, which makes more sense. And so when the ticket is issued, it's based on the number plate. And so rather than someone coming back and appealing and saying, actually, that's not my car, that doesn't belong to me, real-time checks with DVLA to say, what make do you have down for this car? Who does this number plate belong to? So as we move forward, we are trying to work with AI, and the future is digital, and see how we can make things better. The fraudsters, I suppose, will always be a step ahead, because they are, you know, because innovative thinking. However, it doesn't mean we stay behind. We also need to work with them and innovate in the same way, reduce those barriers by testing data shares to see how we can move forward. Say next slide, please, to myself this time. Anyway, so the return of investment on prevention, and I know it's sometimes easier to see we have a system and we've done a test and we've identified X amount of million in fraud, and the numbers will throw you. You'll hear numbers, you're like, wow, that was a lot. You don't always see that with the prevention element. You don't always see what have we prevented, what could have gone out, what could have happened. I know there are departments that would say this would run on till X and we'll give you a figure on what that would look like. But the prevention is more important and pays for itself, which is something that we'd like to do in the future. Right. That was our short presentation. I'm just going to take you just finally to the summary and resources that we have. So now you are all DEA ambassadors, okay? We've decided you're all DEA ambassadors. You need to go out into the world. And you know, whenever you think of data sharing, whenever you think of fraud, think, can we use the DEA as a solution to a problem that could potentially happen? Or can we just use the DEA to scope to see if there's fraud? Is there a way we can use the DEA to make sure our systems are safe? And if you do use the DEA and your systems are safe, then perfect, that's brilliant, because you've done what you needed to do. So just as takeaways, the DEA is permissive, so that means your control sits with your stakeholder. They would want to participate. You start small and you scale fast. So you decide who you would like to data share with. You decide on what data you would like and how that data would be used. And you can decide whether you want, it's tailored to you. You can decide whether you want one stakeholder, 10 stakeholders, and you would work with that. If during the lifetime of a data share you're building, you want something else, that's doable too. And we work towards building the best business as usual that would work long term. And we've got the QR code up on the screen as well. And finally, a word from Michael Sowerby. The only thing growing in a silo is fraud, so we do need to work together. We do need to show that we are data sharing across government, and we need to show fraudsters we are getting better at this. We are getting better at sharing data as we move forward. Right, so that was a short, sharp, quickly, because I know we've only got a 20-minute session. You've got a question. Remove those barriers, yeah. So firstly, and this is only for local authorities or cross-government. Anyway, so generally what we've seen with the cross-government, and I'll come to local authorities too because I know they are a separate entity in themselves. So generally across government, we've had data shares that have taken us 6 months and we've had data shares that have taken us 2 weeks. Now, we have seen that different departments have different levels of governance. So for some departments like HMRC, there are several levels of governance that needs to be carried out before they will get to the end. And rightfully so, because HMRC has my data, and as Michael said, you know, got to use my data carefully. Other departments, they're a bit more smoother, but sometimes when departments approach us, they're in the learning phase. So we will work with them to say, you will need to speak to your DPO. You will need, you know, you will need legal advice at this point to see if there's the right legislation. So in terms of government departments, 2 weeks is the quickest that we've done, and I think the longest is probably 6 months that it's taken to get to all stakeholders to agree on a way forward. And that depends on, we work to the customer's pace, so hence we were flexible in that sense. With local authorities, what we found is if we try to, for example, on the council tax pilot, if we're trying to align, recently when Chantelle has put through a council tax pilot with 53 local authorities, HMRC and DWP, each local authority is like a mini government. I mean, I'll just describe it in that way. Getting them to align is difficult because everyone has their own risk appetite, everyone has their own DPO, everyone has their own legal advice, so it takes longer. And with local authorities, our business as usual looks like rolling out to, certainly with this one, with 360 overall. So we've got to hear all the voices in the room and build that best data share to start with. So I think that's taken about a year, and that's the third iteration. I know the first two were built quicker, but this one is being built for BAU, so it's taken slightly longer, and the returns on that will be, it will go straight into BAU for all 360. So what we have learnt with local authority, what we have learnt generally across government is there are varying capability and resources. Most stakeholders we work with, this isn't their day job. It's our day job, and you know we're like, oh, what's the progress? What's the progress? It's not their day job. It's someone who's decided to pick up a project or been given a project. This is something they're doing on the side. So we would say, how urgently do you want this? How can we assist you? How can we remove barriers? So I think those two things I would stress is it's a capability, I think, resources that each department holds, and a lot of myth-busting. Can we use this data? Yes, you can. No, we can't. It's children's data. Yes, you can use children's data. You just got to say it's special data. That's it, a special category of data. Hope that's okay.
Yeah, so that what I'm getting from there is communication is absolutely essential.
Agree. Yeah. Totally agree. Yep. Oh, question? Yes.
Hospitals as well. The cloning that you're talking about, mm-hmm. You have to pay the cloning before it, and then you have to prove that you were cloned. Right? So do you not think that it's actually citizens' advice groups like the AA or these kind of pressures, they should be setting the agenda to say, this is the citizen who should be benefiting, rather than 300-odd local authorities?
So I think... So with local authorities, when any debt is recovered, because we're talking about PCNs, penalty notices, that goes back into the local authority system. So that money goes back to the local authority to spend. So hopefully when they're collecting that debt, the citizen's benefiting anyway, you know, when that money comes back into the local authority's pot. What we do find, and it's back to what I said earlier, there is local authorities, like any other department, they do have a lot of fraud. There's tenancy fraud, there's housing fraud, tenancy housing, cars, you know, you name it, permits, any schools, when you're trying to get your kids into school in different catchment areas, the amount of fraud is huge. But back to who's going to pick that up to pilot, which team is resourced enough and capable enough to put that pilot through. Normally you tend to find there will be one local authority who will say, I see this. So with our social care fraud, it was Leeds local authority who said, we see an area here we want to look at, and we think, you know, we want to see something. We've worked with Richmond and Wandsworth on collecting arrears in rent on homeless properties or the temporary housing properties. So you normally get one local authority who maybe has that resource and capability to say, we want to do this, and then once we prove that case, we can roll it out. But with local authorities, what I've seen is there's some on the verge of bankruptcy and there's some that are struggling financially anyway. It's up to if they have that resource to do it. And until I think we do start thinking data sharing is something we have to do, and myth busting and going out and saying, actually, look, we are doing this work already, a lot of local authorities won't be able to do it. Any more questions? Oh, one question. Yes, and thank you. Thank you, Charlotte. And where we do sit in PSFA, we actually have, under data, we are part of data. We have the Digital Economy Act team, which is us. We have the NFI team, which is the National Fraud Initiative, which holds loads of data already. And we have the data analytics team. So if you do end up with speaking to one of our teams and we can't help you, we can normally signpost you to another team. That probably can. Yeah, but you've got to get those conversations started. You've got to start saying we need to data share. Thank you.
What's the step from, I guess, data share pilots to kind of sharing as usual as BAU? And are these data shares, when they happen, are they kind of point in time, or are they kind of like linking systems together to get to actually share like real-time data?
So with anything that's done in the Digital Economy Act, we pilot first. And the idea of piloting is to build the best data share. Like I said earlier, you could decide we want a two-way data share with HMRC and DWP, and then decide, actually, we need Home Office in this too. So it's to build that best version of the data share that you need. And we look to put all our pilots into business as usual. But again, we work at the stakeholders' pace. Sorry, can you repeat the second question?
Actually, to be honest, one other thing I wanted to ask was about how does this link in with the conversations happening about National Data Library and the kind of greater conversations around government about data linkages?
So we do keep in contact. So like I said, the Digital Economy Act is not limited to debt and fraud. We do, the Digital Economy Act is huge. I think there's 7 powers under the Digital Economy Act. And for the data library, that we liaise with public service delivery, who are the policy owners. And those conversations are being fed in on what we have and what data is available, which will make life a lot easier, to tell you the truth, because normally we do have stakeholders saying, I want this data, where can I get it from? We might be in a position where we can say, we think it's here. But once we have that data, National Data Library, we'll know better where that information is. So we're definitely feeding into those, and hopefully that'll be bigger, better for the bigger picture.
Yeah.